All right, welcome Welcome everybody. Thank you for joining me this week. We're going to talk about how to implement field crew performance bonuses this week. So we're going to kind of get into the how. I'm going to talk a little bit about one way of calculating it. There's many ways. You don't necessarily have to follow the exact system that I'm about to use. But in general, we're going to kind of talk through what it means to create a system like this. So again, we're going to get into financial incentive systems, kind of look at this as a sort of overview. Obviously, we only have 30 minutes here. Don't take anything too literally. We don't have to follow everything exactly the way it's shown here. The big thing I want to kind of kick off with, though, is look at the outcome of your performance incentive program is ideally building good culture. And what I mean by that is if the bonus system isn't really going to develop positive outcomes in terms of people actually being, you know, team members and working more as a team to sort of achieve company mission, then this program is really for nothing. And so the key thing here is we're trying to create more of an entrepreneurial spirit with all of the staff, but at the same time, we don't want to create silos, or we don't want to create a situation where people actually end up getting overly competitive or overly self-serving. And so there's kind of a fine line there. Many times when I talk about performance incentives, people have had some bad situations in the past. And I can tell you for sure, I made lots of mistakes with this over the years. What I'm going to show you today is what I think works best. But you know, the true outcome is here, what we want is a team that understands what success looks like. So again, we always want to start with a field crew budget so that everybody has a good understanding of what success looks like, what their target's going to be for the year for their crew that they work on or that they lead. And then ultimately, what we want to do is develop a system where people understand how to measure success on the sort of year with the budget, but then on each project with estimated versus actual hours. And then the crew efficiency score, which is built into the crew app to help them understand how many unbilled hours they have each day and in the moment so that they can manage themselves. But most importantly, we want to make sure that staff understand that they are entrepreneurs. You know, my belief is that everybody in the world is an entrepreneur, because when you get out of bed in the morning and you go to work for yourself. You don't really go to work for a company. You just go to work with a company in many cases if you don't own one. And so my opinion is everybody's an entrepreneur. And if we want them to really believe in the metrics, if we want them to believe in success plans and strategies, I think there should be some method of getting paid more when you do more, or getting paid more when things are going really well because of all of the effort you've put into your day. And I think that in itself kind of unlocks the entrepreneurial spirit. So what we want here is a bonus system that drives collaboration, a system that kind of helps people understand that waste is the true villain in the business. And if field crews, if management, if owners can collaborate to eliminate waste, everybody can earn more. And I think in this industry, there's plenty of room for higher wages. There's plenty of room for better profits. And so really getting focused on using waste as the villain and using a bonus system to motivate employees to eliminate waste, I think is a healthy way to run the company. It has to be done tactfully, and I'm gonna kind of explain some of the systems behind this here today. But ultimately what we want is this transparent culture of continuous improvement. We want an opportunity for the best people in the company to truly shine. And then we want, you know, a transparent culture that also drives out underperformers or people that are holding us back in our businesses. And so kind of thinking of the bonus system a little bit at a high level, you know, oftentimes people think of bonus as being profit sharing. And I think an element of it is profit sharing, but ultimately I believe that the bonus should be budgeted and therefore it doesn't have to come out of profit. Maybe some of the extra bonus comes out of excessive profits, but I think the core bonus should be actually budgeted in the field labor budget and the overhead labor budgets. And I think we should pay those bonuses out if the crew hits their targets or if the company hits its targets in the case of management staff. And so what this does is it really just creates an accountability structure whereby we pay a bonus if we hit our goals, and we'll even pay an excessive bonus if we surpass our goals. But ultimately, if things don't go according to plan and we fall short, because we actually budgeted this bonus into the field labor and overhead budgets, if we fall short, it actually gives us a little cushion in the case that our plan doesn't go well at all. And so it actually provides a little bit of a safety catch, but it also prevents us from just taking our profits, which we need for many other things, and giving them away as part of a bonus. And so again, this is a budgeted bonus plan. And typically labor ratios are 25 to 35%. And so if on average you're paying or budgeting a bonus of 10% of wages, that kind of tells you that you're really budgeting 2.5 to 3.5% of all of revenue just for bonuses, which is pretty substantial. But again, you're working that into your field labor budgets and overhead budgets. So you're actually charging your customer for this every day of the year, as opposed to taking it out of profits once you sort of see how things are going at the end of the year. So a big thing is when you start to really explain where bonus comes from, or even for yourself, just wrapping your head around where does this bonus money actually come from, I think the key thing to really focus on and hone in on is bonus comes from eliminating waste. It doesn't come out of profit, and it doesn't really come out of any other one area in the business. We're going to charge our customers for it while we're estimating. So yes, that's where the funds kind of come from. But the big opportunity to really get more revenue each day comes from eliminating waste. And so being better salespeople and selling higher revenue per hour work will help a crew get to the goal earlier in the year. And we've talked to that over the last few weeks. But day to day, the crew has a lot of impact on revenue based on waste. And so the reason we built the crew score into the crew app this year is so that the crew can actually monitor their own downtime or unbilled time in the moment, day to day, in addition to being able to manage estimated versus actual hours. And so each time the crew gets to a site, whether it's a weekly maintenance account or an ongoing install project, they can clock in and see estimated versus actual hours on every work area or for the visit in the case of maintenance. But what we're really trying to do is give them this real-time awareness of if they're on track for the hours, but also let them know how they're performing on waste elimination. And so the crew score and the estimated versus actual hours allow people to see how they're performing in real time. And then ultimately, in addition to this, we do have to train staff on how to eliminate waste, because it's not natural to know where the waste is in a business. And so in the Greenius platform, we have the 5S program and the 9 types of waste. And in the forms library of LMN, you'll notice that we have a pretty big area on waste elimination. And that's basically, we call this the landscape production system, which we modeled around the Toyota production system. And what this is a waste elimination system using lean principles to help landscapers systematically train their staff, measure waste elimination, audit the system on an ongoing basis, and really untap the true potential of the staff by eliminating waste. And so where this bonus all really comes from is turning waste into the villain in your business, teaching staff how to eliminate that waste, and then turning that into more revenue so that crews reach their production goals earlier in the year and unlock this bonus and more, hopefully. And that's what we're going to talk about here next. So your typical company has about roughly 60% of the labor hours being invoiced right now. That's an industry-wide number, which tells you 40% of the time we're paying staff to do unbillable work. And so that unbillable work sits in many, many different places in our businesses. It could be unplanned drive time, forgotten tools, forgotten materials, waiting for material deliveries from suppliers, or receiving the wrong materials is pretty common, or receiving damaged goods like plants that have been damaged in transit or plants that just aren't healthy enough to get planted. There's just many, many, many different things that happen. Oftentimes it's getting to the site with broken equipment. It's getting to site with equipment that is not operating smoothly. And then the next thing, somebody's got to leave the job and go pick up a new machine. There's just so many different scenarios. Often it's like a lot of small consumables. You know, people aren't thinking of bringing string lines, or they're not thinking of bringing glue for a retaining wall installation. There's just, you know, hundreds of things that come up throughout the day. When we don't train our staff the true cost of these things, they kind of assume that it's okay, or that it's, you know, kind of just the way it is. And I always say that culture is just the way it is in your business. And if the way it is that these things happen and everybody shrugs, well, waste just becomes a standard way of doing business. When you've got a waste elimination system in place, when you're using 5S and when you're teaching staff how to eliminate waste and you're measuring it, then a bonus system becomes kind of the gamification component to this. And so I like to say that the bonus is where the rubber kind of meets the road. We've created crew budgets. We're incentivizing people to get more work done in less time by eliminating waste and never sacrificing safety or quality. And so what ends up happening is we have to find a way to kind of show this in real time. So estimated versus actual hours and the crew score become that tool. Now, when you start to work with your teams, an important thing to kind of realize is this is not common language. This isn't something that people often, you know, are aware of. It's not something we cover in high school or in even in many college programs that are preparing people for the landscape industry. So what we want to look at is we've got sales, we've got waste, we've got wages, and we've got profit. We're not happy with what we've got for wages or what we've got for profit. And we're certainly not happy with how much waste we have in the business. So what we want to do is we kind of want to move this bar graph. So as you see here, I'm going to just kind of click here. And what happens is sales goes up exponentially because we're eliminating waste. And in the time that we were wasting driving around doing things that don't add up, or wasting time on site doing the work incorrectly, or whatever it happened to be, what's happened is we produced more revenue by eliminating that wasteful time. And in doing so, we've created an opportunity where we can pay higher wages and we'll see higher profits. And so when we eliminate the waste, we create the opportunity. When we get to actually calculating bonuses, this is kind of important. Often there's a lot of anxiety for business owners on how to just calculate a field staff bonus properly. Many times, if it's just linked to crew revenue or profitability, there's some big issues that emerge with safety and quality. And I can tell you for sure, I've made that mistake in the past where you just kind of say, hit this sales goal and everything will be great. It's not so great. You know, oftentimes people start to make some bad decisions around quality, around speed and efficiency, just to kind of grow revenue, which is not healthy. And that's certainly not what we want our bonus programs to promote on its own. So what we want to do is blend the revenue goal and customer satisfaction, callbacks, complaints, turnover, quality, warranty into an important component of the bonus. And then we also want to blend individual performance into this equation, which is attendance, safety, completing training that was assigned, actually advancing on skills and attitude. And this is typically calculated using more of a spreadsheet. So in the LMN forms library, we have calculator tools for this bonus system that are accessible for you. After this webinar, if you've registered for the webinar, we're going to also send you that forms package so that you can play around with it and create your own system. So what we want to do here is we want 50% of the weighting of the payout to be based on the revenue goal. We want 25% of it based around customer satisfaction. And again, here we're going to track callbacks, complaints, any customer turnover on recurring work, quality, warranty exposure. You know, the way that we always recommend tracking warranty is for every crew, set up a job for their warranties for the year, bill all that warranty to that job, and you'll understand exactly what the warranty exposure was in labor hours and in dollars when you're job costing that work. So super important to set an acceptable warranty threshold. With some types of crews, obviously, if it's a planting crew, there's going to be expected warranty with hardscape. Very, very low, but still some expected. We want to set budgets for the coming year when we're setting up crew budgets to allow for that. And then we want to track that throughout the year. So again, every time they're out doing warranty work, we want them clocking into the job site and to the warranty line item. And that way we can run a report in LMN to assess how many hours and how much dollar we've spent on warranty for the year. And again, you can do that with LMN crew and LMN job costing. Then on the individual performance criteria, we want to set sort of a checklist of things. And again, the forms are in the library. You can customize any of these forms. They're just spreadsheets, so very easy to customize. But we've got a recommended sort of checklist of things that we want to score people on the individual side that is going to kind of help you hold people accountable as an individual throughout the year and make sure that they're doing the day-to-day activities as an individual, in addition to just crew performance and customer satisfaction performance. Once we've got that criteria out and we've reviewed that and your staff are super clear with how they're going to be rated on these components, the next big thing is just setting a percentage of wage. And again, this is just a decision on a case-by-case basis. Typically, office staff that are more in an admin role are going to be down in around the 5% range. As the roles sort of come into management of departments, management of field, management with more direct reports, we're going to scale that percentage up a little bit. So we're going to go maybe 7, 10, 15, even as much as 25% that somebody may be running an entire division or a department. Like, for example, your manager of design build or your manager of snow and ice, you might want to give their variable to as high as 25% so that you've really got that ownership thinking in department leadership type roles. And again, for office staff, we would recommend that they get paid their bonus based on company performance, not necessarily department and certainly not crew performance. But in the case of a department manager, like I just mentioned, like a design build department manager or maintenance department or a snow and ice department manager, I would really recommend that their department is what their bonus is paid on. If they're in a role like chief financial officer or controller or office manager, a role like that would be overall company performance. So again, just really make sure that you set the bonus payouts based on what they influence. Do they influence the whole company, the department, or the crew? In the case of field crews, the supervisors, I would really recommend somewhere between 15 and 25%. And again, this is really driving a really strong ownership thinking into the frontline staff. ultimately, the field crew supervisors really do have all of the control over labor hours. And if they don't have a big variable payout tied to their crew performance, you're sort of, you know, being paid in two completely different methods. The owner is being paid more when the job goes faster, and hourly staff, unfortunately, make more money when the jobs go slower. And so to really kind of connect the two and really unlock that entrepreneurial mindset in the field crew supervisors and the field crew staff, I think the higher the variable pay based on bonus, the better, because they're going to be thinking more in terms of getting the jobs done on time, getting the jobs done safely, maintaining the quality. And of course, they're still thinking about being a great individual contributor and on their individual criteria as well. So field crew supervisors, 15 to 25%. Office staff, big range, 5 to 25%, depending on the role. And field crew staff, I would like to say like 5 to 15%. 15% would be like a right-hand person on a bigger crew. 5% would be like a first-year apprentice. You know, maybe jump that to 7% for second year, 9% for third year, 10% when they're a full rate landscape technician or whatever their trade might be. So again, we want a varied scale here. And I've got an example here of what that sort of plays out like and what the payout might look like for a crew. If we were looking at a field crew supervisor, we're going to, you know, set theirs based on their wage. So if they had a $60,000 wage and we decided to give them a 20% bonus opportunity, what we do here is we would set a goal for customer satisfaction. And it, let's say we wanted that to be 99% on customer surveys. And then we'd also use the individual performance criteria that I mentioned earlier. So the opportunity here is at 20% of 60,000, it's $12,000 is their like core opportunity. And where you budget this, I thought I'd just show this quickly while we're here. If we're looking at a crew budget, we'll actually just go right into the field labor. And when I set up the employees, the crew leader, the apprentice year one, the apprentice year two, I enter their hours for the year, their expected overtime for the year, their hourly wages, and then I enter their bonus opportunity for the year. When I do that, when I put the bonus in here, it's a budgeted bonus. So this means it's not coming out of profit. This has been budgeted within the labor expense. Now, when I'm pricing jobs day to day and estimating, I'm going to have their hourly rates with their bonus and their expected downtime. And I'm going to be bidding jobs throughout the year, expecting to pay this full bonus. So again, it's budgeted, it's estimated, the customers are paying for it. If we don't hit the goal, then we're not going to pay it out. But ultimately, what we're trying to do is really create a system where there's really no room for loss, but there is a big opportunity for upside to unlock that entrepreneurial spirit that we talked about. When getting back to where we were, when we've got the criteria set, then at the end of the year, when we look at how things actually went, let's say that this crew revenue goal was set for 400,000. Now, throughout the year, again, owners and salespeople, designers, anybody, account managers, anybody out pushing revenue can really move the needle for this crew by selling high revenue per hour work, more enhancements, more expensive materials, more jobs where materials get installed quickly with equipment instead of a lot of like manual labor, jobs where we can just produce a lot more revenue for every hour worked. And so again, this happens from two sides of the equation. One, we sell high revenue per hour work where crews are set up to succeed, doing work that they're well equipped to do and well trained to do, and where there's easier access. So those jobs are always going to go really well. Anything with expensive material always works well. Now, we're going to sell that right work. But in addition to that, we're also going to make sure that The crew is well-tuned to eliminate waste. We're going to plan materials, equipment, labor, project sequencing, subcontractors. We're going to do all these things better than ever. And then what happens is the revenue stacks up faster throughout the year. And although we set a crew goal of 400,000, let's say this crew goes out and achieves 500. And this is not a stretch by any means. This is not unusual to see when you really start to focus on waste elimination. So as the crew goes out, they get this 500,000. That's going to trigger a 225% payout on their base bonus of 6,000. So they're going to get 13,500 on a bonus of 6,000. The reason there is when we hit the break even or the 400,000, we've paid our overhead for the year. And so we can actually implement a gearing mechanism whereby they get much more bonus paid after they hit that threshold. So this motivates your field crews to think like entrepreneurs, unlock that super bonus, and we're going to pay that out with a gearing mechanism where they actually get 5% for every 1% over. And that's where we came up with that 225%. Again, the spreadsheets will be sent to you. You can play around with this and come up with your own formula. But ultimately, there should be a gearing mechanism once they hit the threshold so that they want to keep producing more and more work. And ideally, the earlier in the year they hit the threshold, the sooner they get to super bonus, which kind of drives the right behavior throughout the year, where people just want to get more work done and eliminate the waste, turn it into revenue so that they get to the super bonus days a little earlier in the year. Now on number two, let's say they achieve 98% instead of 99. Here we've got a gearing mechanism in place as well, which says for every 1% under the target, we're actually going to deduct 20% of the bonus. So there's a substantial gearing mechanism here on customer satisfaction, which forces the right behaviors throughout the year to make sure that everybody's really thinking of our customers first. And that is super important. So here, what we've got with just 1% variance, we've got a 20% drop in the payout. Doesn't impact the payment that much, but there's still a penalty. Then we've got the individual performance criteria. In this case, we're saying that this fictitious employee here scored 83% on the individual criteria. They're going to get an 83% payout on that line item. When we add it all up, we've got $18,690 bonus for this $60,000 employee for a total of $78,690. Again, we've got a $500,000 outcome on this crew. It's more than affordable. We can pay this bonus, still make a 15% profit. And I think ultimately what we've done here is we've unlocked that entrepreneurial spirit by paying the bonus out using this system. So again, the spreadsheet is in your email. It'll be coming through after this webinar. You can play around with it. Kind of describes the system very simply. In your forms library, there's a little bit more information there on the bonus system. And then there's lots in there under lean landscaping to help you train your staff to eliminate waste and create audit systems to kind of maintain that system. And then on YouTube, on our free channel, there's some waste elimination training videos that you can use. And of course, in Greenius, we've got all the training to assign to your staff so that they can learn how to identify waste, learn how to use the 5S system, and sort of think and act like entrepreneurs and eliminate waste, turn it into opportunity so that this bonus system really pays as much as it can. So again, the documents are in there. You can play around with those right there in the forms library under organizational strategy. You can grab that bonus calculator right there anytime. I'll take a few questions here in a minute, but next week we're going to talk about networking. I'm going to talk about how networking has so much importance when really trying to scale revenue and scale the right revenue, because I think oftentimes customers of landscapers have lots of great referrals, and you know, landscapers get used to operating on referrals, which I think is fantastic. And I always talk about how valuable referrals are, but I do think that the network effect is greater. And so I'll talk next week quite a bit about just how important having a network plan is, both to develop customers, vendors, others in the ecosystem, and also to find more employees and the right employees. So next week, we'll really kind of go through networking. It'll be heavy around networking to drive revenue, and I'll sort of weave in a few other key areas. So hopefully you can join me next week there. And last but not least, before we move on to questions, the five-day certification programs are going strong. They're selling out. So if you are interested, there's only a few weeks left. I think we've got 4 or 5 weeks left of the Academy certification program. This is a traveling roadshow. It's in multiple cities. I think we did 14 cities this winter. This was a program that we had pre-COVID in-person training that we kind of relaunched. This is training so that you and your staff can come out and work with our education team, get the product fully set up, make sure you understand how to use everything, understand the best practices of using LMN, and really sort of allow your staff to unlock their potential by getting certified and really learning how to use the program the way it was meant to be used. And so oftentimes this is companies that have new employees, they've had turnover, maybe they're growing companies and they want to give somebody a promotion. There's just many different scenarios to use this training. But if you haven't checked it out yet, please do so. We definitely get some rave reviews there. So I'll take some questions now about the bonuses specifically. This is usually a really hot topic, so I'm sure we'll have some good questions here. All right, what do we have here? Where in exactly in the budget can we add the bonus for crews in the field labor bonus bracket? It won't account for the office staff though. That's completely true, Matthew, good point. In your field labor, you're gonna do it under the bonus tab. In overhead wages, quite often people just put one line item in the overhead budget for management bonuses with a total. That way it's not itemized. Typically there's a little bit more sensitivity around who's getting what. And so you can kind of assemble that into one line item, and that way it's a little bit less specific. Oftentimes owners and senior managers don't want their specific bonus to be completely transparent, but you'll put it in the overhead bonus. Great question though. Thanks for pointing that one out. What do we have here? Eric, how do you suggest tracking revenue for installment clients, the clients with 12 payments? I believe you understand the question without further detail. Right now, we still have to use our Excel spreadsheets for monthly installment clients. So day to day, Eric, if you're charging the revenue monthly and you're doing the work monthly, it should be pretty accurate in job costing. One thing that it's going to tell you though is if you're just spreading, you know, kind of peanut butter billing, I call it, throughout the year, 12 equal payments, and you're not charging in the moment for extra services like maybe fertilizations or spring cleanup, what it's going to be telling you is just how much money you have spent year to date, or hours you've spent year to date in LMN, which is likely to show you that you're losing money year to date in the spring when you do that sort of peanut butter style billing, which is very normal. I don't recommend billing that way for that reason. I think it is really difficult to manage cash flow. It's definitely a real challenge when analyzing your profit year to date. The easiest way to overcome that, and I think it's actually a great way to unlock the opportunity in enhancements and extra billing, is to look at using packages where you've got a low boat base monthly for mowing and trimming, and then you've got kind of a shopping list of items that you're going to invoice for when the work's completed. With LMN Crew, that's super easy to do. As the crews go out and do the work, they update quantities of any other items that they've done. That automatically invoices the customer, you approve it, and then if you've got them on auto pay with our payment system, you'll get paid each month automatically from their credit card or ACH, and you can get really, really accurate job costing up to the week. So unfortunately, when you do 12-month peanut butter style billing, you'll probably always suffer from the data issues in the sense that you haven't billed for the work you've done yet. And so what ends up happening, you get an accurate picture of how much you've actually earned on each job at the end of the year. And that's usually when it's too late to make any changes. And so oftentimes companies are kind of waiting for profit to happen once there's lighter months, so to speak. But the reality is sometimes those lighter work months never really hit, or you've just over-indexed in the spring with hours on cleanups, for example, or later in the fall with fall cleanups, and then you realize you didn't actually make any money at all. Hopefully that helped. I think there's a follow-up question. What if a crew does both install and maintenance? We have budgets for both divisions. That's fine. Crews can have multiple types of work. You just build their budget with the two major work areas. And then again, you're just going to be tracking revenue throughout the year for all the work that they complete, whether they're maintenance accounts or install. So it'll work out fine for you both ways. No issue if they do both maintenance and install, or even other types of work like snow, for example. No issue there at all. Ben asks if there's a recording of this webinar. Every week, these webinars get uploaded to the webinars section of LMN, and they also get uploaded to our YouTube channel and our Landscape Disruptors podcast channel. So you can access these from the podcast, from YouTube, or from our website every week. And you can see all the past episodes there as well. Carla says, thoughts about paying bonuses throughout the year, June and December. Helps with cash flow and maybe motivation. I completely understand the question, Kara. I personally don't think it's a good idea to pay bonuses out throughout the year. For a number of reasons. I think one, it's too early to say whether the bonus is due because they need to hit the whole year in order to pay overhead recovery. And so if you had a great first half of the year and a bad second half, maybe it's the crew performance, maybe it's weather, maybe it's a multitude of things that have happened in the business. You've overpaid in the spring, which is, you know, kind of turns into a loss in the end. And so I think you de-risk yourself by putting the bonus at the end of the year. The business operates on a year, and so should the staff, in my mind, when it comes to upside. The other thing is a few jobs may go really well and you'll pay the bonus. And then if somebody loses motivation, you're kind of hamstrung for the rest of the year. You've paid them a bonus that they actually didn't really deserve. I kind of like to think of it as we're out to win the war, not every battle. And so if two or three jobs go really well, one or two doesn't go so bad, at the end of the year, hopefully we hit the overall plan. And so I just think we kind of align ourselves with our staff in the sense that we kind of win together or we lose together on the year. And when we start to pay it out intermittently, it creates a lot of extra risk for the business owner. And I think it misaligns the business owner and the field worker on that entrepreneurial aspect. I just think we should create one language, one set of outcomes so that we truly are business partners and we either win big together or we don't. And I think as soon as we break the year up, we sort of break that alignment because of the business outcome. Where are we? For admin and ops manager, are the scores for percentage of bonus just based on individual performance? Absolutely not. That's a great question, Chris. Great to see you here, by the way. Ultimately, what we want to do here is we want to give bonuses based on the crew performance to crew leaders and people on crews. Department leaders should get their bonus based on their department performance. So again, still tied to revenue and customers' happiness and individual performance. And then for company level leaders, like the president, owner, or controller, or maybe there's a operations role of some sort that oversees all of the departments. In those cases, they should always be tied to the company performance. And so it's pretty normal to have admin and overhead staff aligned to either a department budget or company level budget. In any case, we want them tied to as many components of success as possible, which is typically revenue, customer experience, and the individual. Dom's got a question here. We're struggling to find ways to measure incentive bonus for HR office manager role in the company. Really good question. This would be tied to overall company performance. So if your HR and office manager is, you know, handling the whole company, which I would assume so, that's most common, I would align their performance to the outcome of the whole company. And then on their individual criteria, I would really align their individual criteria to the performance of their specific job. That might be, you know, managing the hiring funnel, could be implementing training programs, things of that nature. So maybe they don't have the customer experience impact, but they have the employee experience impact. So you could easily replace that customer experience section that the field staff have with an employee experience section, which would give them a 25% weighting on the employee experience, 25% on the individual performance, and 50% on the company performance. Hopefully that helps, Dom. How do you feel about bonuses per job? David was asking. Again, I really think that's a bad idea. What ends up happening when you give bonuses after each job, they tend to try to rush jobs, and oftentimes you'll have some quality issues that you may not see right away that could lead to a problem later. And again, what happens when they lose on a job? There's no loss on bonus. And so what ends up happening is there's just sort of a plus side of the equation for the staff and not really a negative side, because we can't claw money back. Where when we pay on the whole year, there's an over or under that's occurring throughout the year. So we've kind of got the plus or minus happening, which again, I think leads to much better outcomes at the end of the year. Ben, you've asked how to determine revenue for each crew. That happens during crew budgeting. If you go back and watch the crew budget video from a few weeks back, I explained how to set crew targets based on what they cost. And so a quick overview would be, if we've got three employees and the three employees total, let's say $100,000 in wages, I can there very quickly, using a field labor ratio, tell you that that crew, if they had a 25% field labor ratio doing install work, for example, that crew needs to produce $400,000 just to pay those wages, pay the materials, equipment, and overhead. And so that system of coming up with that number is explained in a previous week's weekly mastermind like this. So there's like a 30-minute video just about that. But essentially, we take the field labor ratio, apply it against the wages, and that tells us what the crew should be producing each year. I got one more minute here. I don't see any other questions that haven't been unanswered. Oh, looks like Jackie or Jacques just came in with, how do you determine a bonus structure for sales team versus production team? Personally, I really like creating a high base wage for salespeople and then giving them their performance bonus based on gross profit and revenue per hour and project performance. And so what that does is it links your sales team with your field crews in the sense that we want the salespeople to go out and sell high, high revenue per hour work so that the field crews can hit their production targets faster. And so if we pay them their bonus using the same system that we've looked at here, as opposed to just paying standard commissions, I think what ends up happening is you get a much better alignment between your sales teams and your field teams. And so they work together to make sure estimates are right so that we don't get the finger pointing when projects go over hours. And the easy way to do that is just use the same system as this. And so call it commissions, call it bonus, call it whatever you like. But essentially, if you put a 10% opportunity on a commissioned salesperson, they don't care day to day whether or not that work's profitable. They just care about selling more revenue. Whereas if you put a higher base wage with monthly sales targets that they need to be hitting and you've got a good pipeline built, I talked about pipeline last week, then you can see if they're trending to hit the goal. And then they can be unlocking their performance bonus or their commission bonus, if you want to call it that, and more if they're selling high revenue per hour work that's got high gross profit. And that way you've aligned everybody on the team. I think it's a healthier way to run the business. And I think that way you don't get greedy salespeople who go out and just sell whatever they can to get up to get more and more commission each month. I think this is just a safer way to run things. Now, of course, there's exceptions with companies that are very, very large with many different locations and there's not, you know, national level contracts and whatnot. And so one system doesn't fit all. But I do think that for most landscape companies, you can actually have your salespeople use the same system, tie it to the department sales that they're selling in. If the department wins, they win and they're aligned the same way as everybody else. With the bonuses, we do end of year bonus based on performance. We do reviews throughout the year with known monetary bonuses. Would it be better to bonus throughout the year rather than at the end of the year? I did answer that one already, but my answer is definitely not. I don't think that more frequent bonuses leads to better outcomes. I think typically you'll see the opposite. Keeping the team aligned for the whole year, paying them a high base wage, a fair, livable wage with benefits and an opportunity to save for retirement, I think is a healthy way to run the business. And if everybody's performing well, we unlock the base bonus and more if we can exceed the plan. And I think if everybody in the company is paid that way, then we've got one culture, one way of doing things. Everybody's kind of collaborating for the same outcome and everybody's looking at the math the same way. And I think that's just a healthier way to run a business. So thanks, everybody. That's it for this week. You'll get a copy of those documents by email in the follow-up. And again, you can always find a pre-recording or a recording of this on